Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we are going to try to bring you an interview with Kevin Cece, who is attorney and founder of ImpeachBushAndCheney.org and FreeElections.us.
He has a bunch of websites. Yeah.
And,
let's see if I can find the list.
What is it? ImpeachBB.org. And torture lawyers, ImpeachTortureLawyers.org.
Let's see. It is VotersForPeace.us is what is that? That's his own website. DisbarTortureLawyers.com, FreeSpeechForPeople.org, and the economic site ProsperityAgenda.us. Those are very good sites to go to. He wants people to get active, and it's really important to wipe the blemish off this country by supporting the impeachment of Judge Bybee. Judge Bybee is with the Ninth Circuit Appeals Court, the court that's the next highest court to the Supreme Court, and he was instrumental in justifying the torture of people who were brought into custody in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's one of the people that's responsible. And he's a sitting judge in this country. How could you go before a court and have confidence and go before a judge who participated in the trying to legitimize torture, something that we know is evil? So I really support this effort of his, DisbarTortureLawyers.com. So hopefully the interview will inform you as to why he believes the way he does. Mm-hmm. And I support him 100%.
Yes. So now that you've built that up, I hope I can play it on.
Oh, gosh, I hope so.
Yeah,
Leo's having a little trouble with his equipment, so we hope so.
I got the my recorder blew out the other night, yesterday. I have another one, but I'm hoping it will work. Let's see, what do we got here? Interesting news and blues.
It says Dr. Norman Finkelstein at the University of Waterloo. I don't know what that's about.
That's a YouTube thing.
And Ahmadinejad is ready to send uranium abroad as the UN wants.
He said Iran will have no problem giving the West its low-enriched uranium, taking it back several months later when it is enriched by 20%. And the decision is a major shift in the Iranian position on the issue.
More is that there? This is a policy about face.
Uranium aboard as the UN wants. Ahmadinejad.
This is where you are. This For months, Iranian officials have used the media to criticize the plan and offer alternatives to one of its main conditions, shipping the uranium abroad for enrichment. The West suspects that Iran's nuclear program is geared toward acquiring atomic weapons. Iran denies the charge and says the program is for peaceful purposes. If we allow them to take it, there is no problem. We sign a contract to give 3.5% enriched uranium and receive 20% enriched one after four or five months, Ahmadinejad said. He dismissed concerns by what he called colleagues that the West would not return the uranium, saying Iran would respond to that by continuing to produce its own enriched uranium.
They're saying we don't give a shit. Here's some 3.5, and give me back 20. They're in the win-win situation there.
I think so.
They don't even have to process their own. It comes back, you know, as long as it's good.
Yeah.
Why the hell do they care who's getting it? I mean, they're, you know.
Saves them time.
Yeah, they can process however much they want. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But if you screw us, all he's saying is screw us, we'll just, you know.
Do it ourselves.
Don't need you.
Okay, let's see what else. You want to go back?
I like this guy. I sent him a friend request.
How are you getting back here? Oh, just get set up?
Yeah, I should do it.
Okay, what else do we have? Nia Khan, Obama can save presidency by bombing Iran. Here's a new one. Here is an idea for Barack Obama to salvage his tottering administration by taking a step that protects the United States and its allies, begins neoconservative scholar Daniel Pipes. He needs a dramatic gesture to change the public perception of him as a lightweight, bumbling ideologue, preferably in an area where the stakes are high, where he can take charge, and where he can trump expectations. Gee, does that sound like the Bush formula? Any guesses? Such an opportunity does exist, Pipes writes. Obama can give orders for the U.S. military to destroy Iran's nuclear weapon capacity. Oh, great. The neocons.
Idiot. The picture is pretty awful. Like one evil-looking dude, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's got those evil eyebrows.
Yeah. Pipes is a longtime pro-war hawk who has been particularly vociferous in his calls for a special scrutiny of Arab Americans. The liberal blog Think Progress notes that if Pipes ran a campaign against New York City public schools focused on teaching Arab culture, successfully forcing the school's principal to resign. Pipes references 9/11 catalyzing impact on voter enthusiasm for former President George W. Bush and says Obama could get the same boost by starting a new conflict with the Persian state. Just as 9/11 caused voters to forget George W. Bush's meandering early months, a strike on an Iranian facility would dispatch Obama's feckless first year down the memory hole and transform the domestic political scene, he writes. I would sideline healthcare. It would sideline healthcare, he continues, prompt Republicans to work with Democrats, make knee truth squeal, independents reconsider, and conservatives swoon. In response to a growing belief that Iran is developing a nuclear weapon program, the U.S. has stepped up its defense in the Gulf. President Obama recently sent ships and missiles to the region, a move Iran derided as a puppet show. New Yorker journalist Seymour Hersh revealed in 2007 that the Bush administration had a highly developed plan that involved surgical strikes on suspected Iranian nuclear facilities. He wrote that the U.S. was beefing up intelligence sources within the CIA, shifting its rhetorical campaign in a bid to win support from the American people should the strikes proceed. The dive toward an Iranian strike was so strong, Hersh later suggested that Bush and Cheney were willing to go against their own party. Cheney and Bush don't give a rat's ass about the future of the Republican Party when it comes to this, Hersh told MSNBC. Pip's post was first highlighted Tuesday by Think Progress. Yeah, right, Think Progress. Evil. What an evil man.
Yeah,
an evil, evil man.
Remember the name Pipes.
Pips.
P-I-P-E-S. Yeah, I've seen his ass before on television.
Oh, do you think he calls himself Pipes?
I think it's Pipes, yeah.
Oh.
Could be Pips.
Pips. Well, whatever he is, a jerk.
I thought I heard him introduced as Pipes.
Oh, okay. I never heard of him before. Let's see. UN finds challenges... Israeli version of attack on civilian building in Gaza.
Okay.
Step right into the ring with Woody. The UN Mine Action Team, which handles ordnance disposal in Gaza, has told The Guardian that the remains of a 500-pound MK-82 aircraft dropped bomb were found in the ruins of the mill last January. Photographs of the front half of the bomb have been obtained by The Guardian. The evidence directly contradicts the findings of the Israeli report, which challenged allegations that the building was deliberately targeted and specifically stated there was no evidence of an airstrike. Goldstown, however, used the account of the airstrike as a sign that Israel's attack on the mill was not mere collateral damage, but precisely targeted and a possible war crime. What a surprise. Federal Reserve access to 23.7 trillion, not 700 billion. This is on YouTube, and this might be interesting. Leo, I think we should play this.
Yeah, go.
Right here? Is this?
Yeah.
I want to go back for a second to the president and his olive branch. I don't know if we still have that olive branch around here anywhere, but he has extended quite a few of them, particularly in that State of the Union speech.
Yeah,
he's offered what he sees as some great solutions to some of our most pressing problems, education, health care. We know the narratives. And while the president talks about jobs, rightly so, and stimulus money, and getting our money back from the bankers, there's the olive branch, see, he's extending this. As he has that conversation, and it's compelling, and you want to help him, you want to help him fix the process. You want to figure out a way to get rid of the influence of special interests, whether you're on the left or the right. You know it's hurting our country. But we fear that our president right now is like a man preparing to run a marathon, even with an olive branch, while ignoring the fact that he has a gigantic, I don't have a thorn prop, I'm sorry, a giant thorn in his foot. And the thorn that I'm talking about is the big TARP lie. The president continues to say in public that banks have almost paid Americans back. That is a lie. The fact is, the TARP, which Congress approved, is only 2% of the trillions of dollars in free money being provided to our banks by the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. The American people know this. They know that they are subsidizing our banking sector. And yet, the TARP lie continues to be spread by our politicians. Our problem, Mr. President, is either you don't understand it, which I doubt, I'm sure you do. You don't want the American people to understand it, which would be understandable, although I also doubt that. Or perhaps you're hoping no one will notice all the other support and the big spend, the infinity from the Fed, will make the whole thing go away, which is what I really think is going on. But I'm here to tell you, the problem will not go away until you actually fix it. You see, we know, the American people know, that the CEOs of the banks turned into casinos like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citigroup, and AIG have paid themselves hundreds of billions of dollars building the debt bombs I was just talking about and exploiting the 0% money from the Fed and the free money they get from the Treasury. The rewards for this go to the bankers in the form of compensation, particularly the CEOs, who are the ones that decide how much risk the bank can take. Meanwhile, the risks those banks take, ultimately, the losses on all their gambling, go to us, the people, and are harvested from our labor, in the form of our taxes. And worse, the extraordinary returns offered by the bankers' fraudulent practices are like a black hole for America, fucking money that would otherwise be getting invested in our country. But why would I go through the trouble of dealing with the investment when I have a funny money machine legalized by the government over here that's done in secret at the bank? Adding insult to injury, the same giant banks are using the free money access granted to them by our political body to lend to foreign countries that seek to compete with us. The banks do this because it's more profitable for the bank CEOs to lend to them than it is to go to the trouble of lending to America, even if it's coming at America's expense. Why would we, the people, vote for you, the politicians, to do that to us? It's beyond my comprehension, and I suspect almost every other American who understands it. Mr. President, you have an ambitious agenda, which so many of us would happily support. But please, for your own sake, you need to realize that you cannot run a marathon without taking the thorn out of your foot. And the thorn is the use of taxpayer subsidies to support banks legalized gambling and foreign lending while taking away American homes and jobs. It's still hurting us economically, and if you continue with the TARP lie, it will continue to hurt you politically.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that, of course. There's so much I'm not aware of until I...
You have to look.
Yep.
Iraq to sue U.S. Britain over depleted uranium bombs. This is good news. It's not good news, but it's good news that they're doing that.
Yeah. Iraq's Ministry for Human Rights will file a lawsuit against Britain and the U.S. over the use of depleted uranium bombs in Iraq, an Iraqi minister says. Iraq's Minister of Human Rights, Wijdan Mikhail Salim, told Asaba, newspaper of the lawsuit, that the lawsuit will be launched based on reports from the Iraqi Ministries of Science and Environment. According to the reports, during the first year of the U.S. and British invasion of both Iraq, both countries had repeatedly used bombs containing depleted uranium. That's affected our own soldiers, too.
Sure,
of course, they won't admit it.
That's part of that whole problem that they're having with their soldiers.
According to Iraqi military experts, the U.S. and Britain bombed the country with nearly 2,000 tons of depleted uranium bombs during the early years of the Iraq War. Atomic radiation has increased the number of babies born with defects in the 7 provinces of Iraq. Iraqi doctors say they have been struggling to cope with the rise in the number of cancer cases, especially cities subject to heavy U.S. and British bombardment. The high rate of birth defects and cancer cases will move in the coming years to the central and northern provinces of Iraq, since the radiation may penetrate the soil and water by air. The ministry will seek compensation for the victims of these bombs. Oh, good luck. Oh, it's so sad. Just looking at a picture of a deformed baby, it's just...
But that's what's happening there. We saw that.
Terrible.
Remember the Beyond.com?
Mm-hmm.
I suggest people, there's a video out by Joyce Riley, who is the host of the PowerHour.com, a very popular website from the Midwest, very popular amongst veterans and so on. And she got a great video.
It's a shortwave radio show.
It's also on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shortwave and internet. It's called the Power Hour. And what I was going to say is she has a video out called Beyond.com. BeyondTreason.com, all right? And that video is stunning. That shows the birth defects that are happening, what's the diseases that are being gotten by the soldiers, and the use of depleted uranium, what it's doing to Iraq and how it's contaminated the entire country for the next 25,000 years. You know? It's horrible. And it's just a total genocide of these people. And I believe the last count was a million Iraqis are dead, you know. And they had over 3 million refugees that went over to Syria. So it's like, you know, it's a crazy bullshit thing that we're doing. It's really horrible what we're doing out there. And let's see.
This might be interesting.
Okay.
Mike Rivero and Alex Jones, the global tyranny takeover is moving into a high gear phase. Let's see what this is.
This is 10 minutes, though.
Private asset of every American citizen, that would only cover about one quarter of the hole they've dug themselves into.
And meanwhile, their health care plan's failing, their swine flu hoax is failing, their global carbon tax is failing. But they're not stopping. Obama just says, I'm going to use executive orders and do it regardless.
Yeah, and that's a very, very dangerous situation because he's making it clear that the government has broken away from the will of the people or even the best interests of the people. And I was talking with somebody earlier today that it looks like they're going to go ahead with the attack on Iran and they no longer care if we know it's legit or not. Even as we're finding the British Parliament is agreeing that, yes, there was no legal basis for the attack on Iraq. Blair is already out there saying we've got to go into Iran. The problem with that approach is that if you go back to your Art of War by Sun Tzu, victory always goes to the army that believes they have the moral right on their side. And if the United States starts yet another war, with an army that knows they're the bad guys, that they're the invaders and conquerors, and they're not fighting for anything that is morally right, they're going in with a tremendous disadvantage that our wonder weapons is not going to be able to overcome.
Well, that brings me to the next point when we come back in the long segment. Clearly, the underwear bomber was a staged event. It's now admitted in mainstream news, but buried in the articles, that, okay, the State Department ordered them to let him on the plane, and he didn't have a passport, but we helped him, obviously meaning the smart-dressed man was a government agent. Who else can get somebody on board a plane and pass the security checkpoints and the naked body scanners? And this is clearly a kickoff for the new police state. We're seeing all these new fake Bin Laden tapes. They're going to need to stage a new terror attack, a new 9/11, to go into Iran, I believe, or politically worldwide, it would be too damaging for even the arrogant, hubris-filled globalists. So I want to get your take on that, Mike Rivero, on the other side. Then we'll get into the economy, internet censorship. The global tyranny takeover is moving into a high gear phase.
And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Thank you for joining us today. You can always listen to the free podcast if you don't have an AM and FM in your area or shortwave radio or satellite. You go to InfoWars.com, click on the radio page, the top right-hand corner, all the different podcasts, all the different flycasts, different ways to listen how you want, when you want, where you want. We also archive for PrisonPlanet.tv members, a higher quality, a commercial-free podcast at PrisonPlanet.tv, and the video each day when we simulcast the radio show at PrisonPlanet.tv. Mike Rivero joins us from WhatReallyHappened.com, an excellent alternative news source and aggregator. I go there every day to make sure I'm not missing anything. And, again, Mike Rivero joins us. For stations that just tuned in, some don't carry that first five-minute segment, recap the geopolitical state of the global empire that's basically used America up now. It wants to use us finally to go into Iran, then fully bankrupt us after we funded China and Europe's rise. There's no way they're going to be able to attack Iran, which they're clearly gearing up to do and moving weapon systems and more ships and missiles in and new sanctions. They clearly can't do that without a staged terror attack. And then we have the underwear bombing situation where it's now come out that the U.S. government ordered him to be allowed on the plane. That's in the Detroit News. That's in other mainstream newspapers. But buried in the article, like it's no big deal, that, okay, there was a second guy on the plane. He did supposedly have a bomb. We did lie about Kurt Haskell and say that he wasn't telling the truth. Yes, he has other witnesses. Yes, the State Department ordered him to be allowed on the plane. Then one of their people let him on the plane. This is huge information. So start with the state of the empire, Mike. I want your take on this. What the empire needs. Do you agree with me that they need a staged terror attack? And the underwear bomber was the kickoff, the new fake, which they even admit they can't even prove are real, Bin Laden tapes coming out right as the Yemen operation starts. I mean, this really looks bad, Mike.
It looks bad. There's one moment of levity in the whole situation, and that, of course, was the Bin Laden tape in which he's critical of global warming, which I think was pushing a little bit too far to be believable, and a lot of people actually got a chuckle out of that. But you're absolutely right. They need a false flag. They need something that is so big and horrific it's going to shock Americans into supporting whatever the government wants to do. It's got to be so big that it shocks Americans into unquestioning obedience without even thinking. The crotch bomber was not it. They didn't get any traction with it. Symbolic gesture. Almost, maybe, that's not going to work. They need something really horrifically big, and there are two targets of opportunity coming up in the next couple of weeks. The first, of course, is the Olympics up in Canada, and we already know there's something like 2 tons of explosive that went missing from a company that is partly owned by the Carlyle Group. Now the company is trying to say that, oh, the explosives aren't missing, it was just a clerical error, but the police are saying they can't validate that the explosives have been accounted for. So that situation is in play, and of course we have the Super Bowl coming up.
Kind of like those missing cruise missiles with Cheney and then at least 11 members of the base being murdered to cover it up.
That's right.
Yeah, the missing nuclear weapons. I mean, the whole credibility of the Iran war is going to be based on proving to America that Iran really did have nuclear weapons after all, not only to recover from the IAEA reports and the National Intelligence Estimate, but also from the lie in Iraq. And so the possibility of our government or Israel setting off a small nuclear weapon someplace in the United States or Canada cannot be discounted completely. And I know it sounds fantastical and like it's from a James Bond movie, but we know that 9/11, that cover-up is beginning to fall apart. We've got world leaders saying it needs an objective outside investigation. More and more of the rest of the world's governments are seeing this. It was a false flag attack to kick off a new war.
But isn't it even bigger than that? Clearly the U.S. has been positioned worldwide as the new boogeyman.
Yes.
Rupert Murdoch-owned papers worldwide bashes. Then domestically, you know, he poses as a conservative to control the libertarian movement. Clearly, America does the dirty work, and then we're imploded, and we're now beginning to come to that point.
I agree with you. We're the new Nazi power, and it's amazing how closely our government is following Adolf Hitler's playbook, both from the false flag attack in New York, which matches the operation in Gleiwitz, to the selection of an ethnic minority to be used as a scapegoat and a social target. It's the same propaganda tricks over and over again, and it's going to end the same way. Look at how Germany ended World War II. That is the future of America, unless the American people are willing to grab their government by the lapels and say, we're not following you.
Well, that's the good news, and I want you to really walk through this. I mean, chronicle all the hoaxes, the flu, the WMDs, the banker bailout, just on every front, the carbon tax, the healthcare takeover. Everything they're doing is failing, and you talk about the government ignoring the people. The executive and the bureaucracy is even ignoring their own Congress. I mean, this is rogue government.
It absolutely is, and a big part of the problem is that our top leaders are so insulated from the rest of the world by all these yes men and yes women that cluster around them. I don't think they understand the extent to which ordinary Americans understand. We have been lied to on a monumental scale. Americans are the most lied to people on the face of the earth, whether it's ClimateGate or the When Pigs Fly Flu or TARP and all the rest of that. We see that it is an unending series of lies going back to Saddam's nuclear bombs. I think our government leaders, Obama and the war hawks, they're so insulated. I don't think they understand the degree to which their credibility has been destroyed. Now, some people obviously do. You were talking before about this sudden push for internet censorship. We're hearing the United Nations call for web operators to be licensed in order to control who is allowed and not allowed to create a website. This, I think, is a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that it was the blogosphere and it was the alternative media that brought down the whole ClimateGate hoax and absolutely exposed to the world that these kind of large-scale conspiracies between government and academia and corporate media, yeah, they really do exist. We've got one staked out on the dirt for you to study all you want. And I think this the globalists are having a fear reaction. They're trying to find some way they can drag us back to the glory days of the 1950s where they just wave Russians at us and pump lies at us through the TV, and we had no alternative but to sit there and accept it and believe it. But it's a completely different environment, and they are failing to evolve to that new environment, which is why I am convinced that the U.S. government is headed for extinction by its own hands.
But that's the globalist plan. The big banks sit offshore. They use the U.S. to carry this out. They get us deep in debt. Then they scapegoat us for everything in the end.
Well, I don't think we're talking about exactly the same mechanism. I think the U.S. might implode before those plans can even come to fruition. But the bottom line is when the U.S. goes down, I think it's probably going to take a big chunk of the globalism with it, because so many of the globalists were using the U.S. as a foundation at least to launch the swine flu pandemic hoax and the economic hoax you were talking about. The banks are calling for a new global financial authority, which we knew was going to be the third pillar for the foundation of global government. But all three pillars are in serious, serious trouble. And I think that if the United States government and economy implodes, that third pillar is going to get dragged down with it, and the globalists are going to have nothing that they can use to trick the people into going along with the global government. They can sit up there and say, we're the global government, but if 5 billion human beings, 6 billion human beings, sit there and say, I'm not going along with it, They do not have the military force to literally conquer the entire planet and rule it from a single golden pyramid somewhere.
That was excellent.
Well, I agree with you, and almost all the economists and historians we have on say that the New World Order has overplayed.
I don't want to continue with it. We got
our
interview coming up. But if you want to check out the rest of that, that's on Alex Jones. Alex Jones. Or you can go to our buddy here, David Icke. I've had David on the show before. I spoke to him a number of times. But David is a heck of a guy, and a lot of good stuff. He's got a great website. It's called davidicke.com, and you can check that out and get a tremendous number of stories and articles from everywhere. So, and we're going to go to our show. We have tonight. We got Kevin Cece. I believe he's an attorney for this organization, and he's got a number of websites.
VotersForPeace.us,
right.
DisbarTortureLawyers.com, FreeSpeechForPeople.org, and his economic site, ProsperityAgenda.us. And there's an opportunity for you, if you're interested, to get involved, go to one of these websites, see what you can do to further the causes that are so important.
And we have Kevin will be joining us here on tape, taped interview. So hopefully my equipment doesn't fail and we will be off, Scotty. So here's our interview with Kevin Cece.
Happy to be on. Thank you very much.
Oh, we're really glad to have you. Well, I guess we have a very secretive executive branch, huh?
Well, one that certainly wants to cover up the war crimes of the previous administration by sweeping under a rug and claiming it just a bad judgment, not a decision that deserves some responsibility by those who made it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they doing? What is the problem here? You would think they would want to
clean it up.
Clean this up. You know?
It would certainly be the best thing for the country if they faced up to this issue. And since they're not, I hope the Congress does. But as to why they're not doing it, I mean, I that would be a few guesses on my part. One is politics. He doesn't want Obama administration is trying to get along with the Republicans ahead of upholding the law, and if that's the case, it's a very short-sighted decision. Another possibility is, in the last 2 weeks, the UN committee said that what the United States is currently doing with drones and killing civilians is a war crime as well.
That's right.
And so it may just be that they're trying to put in place a de facto excuse, a de facto shield. Those in the executive branch fighting the war on terror can commit war crimes. So who knows? It's asking the question why they're doing something requires me to get into their minds and try to figure it out, and so all I can do is guess. But those are the two that come to mind for me first.
Well, what kind of a chance do we really have? I mean, trying to get this through Congress, trying to get anybody in Congress to act on this.
Well, both Chairman Conyers and Chairman Leahy of the Senate and House, respectively, who have the power to hold hearings on this and go forward with impeachment of Jay Bybee, they have in the past expressed a lot of concern over torture. Both have put forward their own ideas on how to proceed, and they both should be holding hearings on this now. How did the Department of Justice reach this conclusion? Was there any political involvement? How they switched their position from the early position that did call for disciplinary proceedings, what happened there, and then also look into what Jay Bybee did. I mean, the House of Representatives would be the House of Congress that would start impeachment proceedings. We've had 18 impeachments in our history. 14 of those, by the way, have been of judges. So it's not
usual
for judges to be impeached.
Just stop for a minute and explain to our folks at home just who Jay Bybee is and what he did.
Sure. Jay Bybee is currently one of the highest serving judges in the United States. He's on the Federal Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit. The Court of Appeals is the court right below the Supreme Court. So he's one of the highest ranking judges in the country below the Supreme Court. And he had prior to that served in the Department of Justice under President Bush. He was the supervisor of John Yoo, and the two of them signed off on memos that facilitated torture as well as limited the rights of people arrested in the war on terror, the so-called war on terror. So he is someone who facilitated the war crime of torture as a Department of Justice official. When he went before the Senate for his confirmation hearing, he refused to answer any questions about whether he had a role in the Department of Justice relating to torture. And so the senators voted blindly. They didn't know that, in fact, he had been the lead author, the top supervisor supporting terror, the use of torture in the Department of Justice. And to get a sense of what could have happened if he had told the whole truth, Michael Haynes, who was also a torture lawyer in the Department of Justice, he was also nominated to the bench, and at that time, the Senate knew he was involved in writing torture memos and facilitating torture, and his nomination, as a result, was withdrawn. So if the Senate knew the full story about Bybee, he probably would not have gotten confirmed by the Senate. So essentially, he deceived his way by not telling the whole story. He deceived his way into getting that Senate confirmation. So that's who Bybee is. And there have already been protests in the Ninth Circuit. People have gone into the courtroom, and the Ninth Circuit is hearing cases that Bybee is sitting on. And respectfully, when the court was in a between cases, they would stand up and hold signs about the removal of Bybee and not having a torture facilitator on the bench. And so people are angry about this. And my sense is that people show that anger if there's an organized resistance and an organized call for impeachment, that we can actually remove Jay Bybee from the bench. We do have two sympathetic chairmen who are aware of the torture issue, and if they hear from the people, I think it's a good time to hit them. The Democrats are very afraid right now. They have turned off their base of voters. They've lost elections in Massachusetts, Virginia, and New Jersey. They see a lot of members of the House are retiring because they see that this is a bad year for Democrats. And if they don't excite their base in 2010, there's no doubt they will lose a lot of seats in both the House and the Senate. This is the kind of issue that could be used to excite the base and highlight why it's important not to put Republicans back in office because of their criminal behavior, their war crime behavior. And so this is an opportunity to either turn off their base more or excite their base and have a chance to win some elections.
Well, we have the same war criminal mindset in Obama right now. I mean, you know, not only is he escalating, defense budget and escalating the war in Afghanistan, but he's deliberately targeting civilians, all right, with these drones. He seems to have a sociopathic nature about him when it comes to the preservation of life, liberty, and limb, especially of his soldiers. He just doesn't seem to care. And the other problem that I see with this guy is that, I remember David Brooks saying, after they had that party at George Will's house, remember, right before he...
I remember that, sure.
Remember that? And he said Obama was just an appeaser, all right? And that's exactly what he is. He's an appeaser. I mean, the guy...
He wants to be
talks
right.
Talks on both sides of his mouth. He doesn't seem to have a backbone. When it comes to anything that he promised, or like you said, he's totally alienated his base. I mean, I saw a poster the other day by Code Pink that said it had Obama on it and said hopeless,
Yeah.
Instead
that's
of hope.
Pretty sad. That
but,
was those are some of his strongest supporters.
Yeah, and it's like, what's your opinion of him?
No, I have lots of criticism. I did not even support him for president because even during his campaign, he promised to escalate the war in Afghanistan,
yeah,
to bomb Pakistan, to
yeah,
increase the military budget, to
and he's doing
1,000 more troops, to not really get out of Iraq. He only promised a partial withdrawal. You know, his health care plan was always a corporate one. He rushed home to support the bank bailout and twisted the arms of the members of the Black Caucus to get them to support the Wall Street bailout. So now I was not supportive of Obama. He's pretty much done what I expected him to do. But now we're in a situation where the Democrats see they are losing support, they are losing elections, they are turning off their base. And there's no question that this failure to prosecute torturers, to hold them accountable, is a
and another issue on which they're turning their base off. And so for the just for the reason of self-preservation of power,
mm-hmm.
I think that we have a good chance right now to push the Democrats into, you know, pursuing an impeachment. I mean,
and finally doing the right thing.
To have, like we're having in Britain, they're having a hearings on the Iraq war, and now
right.
Tony Blair misled his cabinet,
mm-hmm.
Ignored legal advice that the Iraq war
mm-hmm.
was illegal, misled the parliament, and now Tony Blair is becoming kind of a someone who's going to have no future in politics because of this. Imagine we had something like that happening in the United States. If the, over the next few months there were hearings in the House on torture, the truth came out about how widespread the torture really was. It was actually a program of torture facilitated by lawyers who ignored their oath to uphold the law and instead upheld war crimes. And then to take that next step further and to go after the one torture lawyer who has a very important judicial position and ask for his impeachment. You know, file and have a hearing in the House and have the House vote on whether or not to impeach.
What are the chances? What are the chances of impeaching a Supreme Court judge? I mean, after these recent, after that.
He's
recent,
not a,
this is a court of appeals.
Court of appeals.
No, I know a court of appeals, but what? How?
Going after the corporate power decision.
Yeah.
I think there's no chance of that. I mean, that's not the same. I mean, I think we have here in Bybee a very clear violation of judicial ethics, very clear involvement with war crimes, and to have someone on the bench. Can you imagine being a defendant seeking an appeal to the Court of Appeals, and one of your three judges appointed to your case is Judge Bybee?
Yeah.
You think you can get a fair hearing? I mean, how can you have any confidence in the result of that kind of a judicial process? So I think there's a real opportunity here to really push hard for impeachment. So I'd urge listeners to go to votersforpeace.us, which is my organization, and you'll see an end torture sign, and just click on that and get involved with our efforts, or go to our coalition effort, disbartorturelawyers.com, disbartorturelawyers.com, sign up there and get involved in our efforts to impeach Judge Bybee. I mean, it's essential that this judge be removed from the bench so that there's some punishment for someone who facilitated torture, not a reward
mm-hmm.
of a lifetime judicial appointment to the second highest court in the land.
Mm-hmm.
That is an abysmal situation that needs to be corrected. So I hope that your listeners will go to disbartorturelawyers.com, get involved, get active, and help us to move this forward.
What kind of things do you want people to do if they go to
the
these?
The key is to focus on the Judiciary Committees in the House and the Senate,
mm-hmm.
especially to focus on the two chairmen, Conyers and Leahy.
Okay.
That is where the first steps will be taken, and I think we need to convince them that it's the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
it's upholding the law, and it's the smart thing to do politically because it will show the Democratic base that they are standing against the Republicans, and they will show voters why Republicans should not be allowed to hold office because they are so comfortable with committing war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just outright corruption overall. But how do you, I didn't want to really change the subject, but I really had this question for you. And can Congress impeach a sitting Supreme Court justice?
Of course they can.
No question
they can, and I don't think that's going to happen with this corporate power decision. It's a terrible decision. But it is not one that's going to result in anyone being impeached. More important on that is there was today introduced a constitutional amendment by Congresswoman Edwards and,
mm-hmm.
and Congressman Conyers. And I'd urge people to go to freespeechforpeople.org, freespeechforpeople.org, and get involved in the effort to overturn that decision with a constitutional amendment that will put corporations in their place where they work for us and we don't work for them.
Good.
And that could be an amendment to overturn.
Okay, that would be a constitutional amendment, so it's a very major organizing opportunity.
Okay.
It'll take a lot of effort to pass a constitutional amendment, but that's really an opportunity to educate people about the corruption of corporate power, the pay-to-play politics that we see, the corporate welfare that's dished out in the hundreds of billions a year, plus the Wall Street bailouts on top of that, and also to stop the crony capitalism that has resulted in the top 1% of Americans having wealth equal to the bottom 95%. So we need a really major restructuring of our economy, and we're working on that through a group called Prosperity Agenda. The website's prosperityagenda.us, where we have a whole layout of issues that we're pursuing on the green economy, on health care, on housing and jobs and worker rights, on military spending, on taxes, on transit. All these issues we're dealing with at prosperityagenda.us, and one of the issues that we're concerned about, of course, is this massive corporate power, which we see as blocking every progressive, slightly progressive effort that comes out of the administration. As I said, I'm not a supporter of the president. I think he's created a very corporate cabinet. I don't like Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff, received more contributions from Wall Street than any other member of Congress when he was in Congress. So it's not a friendly administration for challenging corporate power. But that doesn't matter. Change does not come from a knight on the white horse. Change comes from people. It wasn't LBJ who gave us the Civil Rights Act. It was the Civil Rights Movement that forced LBJ.
Yeah, that's
so
right, yeah.
It wasn't Woodrow Wilson who gave women the right to vote. It was the Women's Rights Movement that demanded it. It wasn't President Nixon who ended the Vietnam War. It was the Vietnam War, anti-war movement during Vietnam, and the Vietnamese people. People getting organized is what makes change happen. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be disheartened by Obama because the power is in us if we get organized and use it.
But you know, I mean, you said it, and I agree. And I said it just prior to you coming on that I mean, Obama can't be trusted anymore. I mean, he just does not have. I mean, he's lost all the credibility, and I think all the capital that he had, political capital he had when he got inaugurated. And at this point, the recent poll came out. He's at 27%. You know, as far as people trusting him at all.
Yeah,
and I mean that's worse than George Bush,
right?
And George Bush was a psychopathic liar, sociopathic liar. You know, he was crazy, all right. But and everybody knew that. But still, he had a 25 or 28% approval rating even when he left office.
Well, because he has such a bad rating, maybe now is the time for people to stand up and get something done.
Do you think people have...
I think that's exactly right. This is the time when he's feeling the pressure.
That's right.
He needs to excite his base, and this is our opportunity to do it. So,
and you can flex a little muscle with the things that you want to accomplish.
Exactly.
because he needs you now.
Exactly.
And I think the time is right for that.
There's no question that they're afraid. The Democrats are afraid.
So.
They see massive electoral losses in 2010 in November because of the, anger of their voting base.
Yeah.
But they need to excite their base.
But they're not going to do that. They're just
when they go to elections, that's going to be their choice.
I think they're just going
to really begin to win elections if they. And this torture issue is a classic. It's exactly the kind of thing they can do without offending their corporate masters.
Mm.
But
I think the torture issue is a very fundamental issue.
It is.
And it speaks to me very deeply. I think it has to be accomplished.
It defines us as a people.
I think
so. If we are willing to allow torturers to get off scot-free, as the Department of Justice is doing, the reality is that this is a real stain on the nation's character. The reality that there was a massive torture program involving thousands of people being tortured during the Bush administration, that existed. It's not going to go away.
Right, how do you? Okay, here's a perfect example here. Mohammed Sheikh Mohammed, the guy they want to try in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now he was waterboarded 183 times inside of like 2 months. All right, that's like two or three times a day. All right. Well, while he was the first couple of months he was in capture. All right. Now, how can they justify putting this guy? How can they even qualify anything this guy says? All right. Since they since they probably drove the guy out of his mind. Okay. He's probably totally insane. All right. At this point, I mean, can you imagine being waterboarded 183 times? But do they have? They have really no evidence that was even that wasn't coerced out of this guy. All right.
And I'd agree to anything.
Yeah.
If they did that to me.
On top of that, they want to parade him down New York City for a massive public trial. I mean, what is wrong with Obama? What is wrong with his people?
What makes it even more interesting is the report that came out today that the Christmas attempted bomber is now totally cooperating and providing very useful information on terrorist cells in Yemen, and the current information that the U.S. government now is beginning to act on. So he's been giving all his rights. He's not been tortured. Mm-hmm. He's not been waterboarded, not been hung upside down. He's gotten a lawyer. He's been allowed to meet with his family. He's being given all the rights of a criminal defendant in the United States. He's being treated, really appropriately, and he's providing useful intelligence.
But that's
a really interesting contrast, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it turns out this guy didn't have enough powder on him to burn the seat, for crying out loud, that he was sitting on. All right, it's just totally stupid. But I mean, how can you justify, it was a word, rationalize, how can this administration rationalize having this monstrous trial right in the heart of New York City?
Sorry, folks. I just got to turn the tape over.
Prosecuted terrorists for. I don't see any problem with that at all.
Yeah, but the guy is not a citizen. The guy's a terrorist. Okay.
What? Non-citizens get treated in criminal courts in the United States
all the time.
I understand that. But
what's the big deal? We've done that before. And
but why do you want
a terrorist? Please prove found guilty of being a terrorist.
Yeah, but let's put this guy up on trial for $250 million.
Oh, who knows what those estimates are? Real.
Totally unbelievable.
Thrown around by politicians who oppose it. I wouldn't trust those numbers at all. I think that's just political rhetoric. It's about as real as almost anything else Republicans.
Well, that crazy mayor of Newburgh. He wants to have the trial right there in Newburgh, and he wants $200 million to have the trial. Okay,
I bet he does. It's a nice fundraiser for him.
Right. But
Newburgh needs all the money it can get.
But he's saying that's what it's going to cost.
That's nonsense. I don't buy that at all.
Well, Newburgh said there wasn't enough money.
Scare people and make political points.
Yeah, but Bloomberg said that wasn't enough money for New York City.
Yeah, I know. What are you expecting to say? I mean, they all want more money.
Yeah, but they don't want. But it makes sense. They don't want the trial there.
I think it's interesting that initially Bloomberg had no problem with it, and then when Obama started criticizing the financial industry and going after their, talking about breaking up the big banks and mm-hmm. pushing the consumer agency, then suddenly Bloomberg switches. I wonder if the financial industry said to Bloomberg, let's give this Obama some crap. Let's put some pressure on Obama. Look what he's doing to us.
I
don't trust this at all. I think there's no – they've had trials of terrorists before in New York. They've handled it with no problem. I don't see what the big deal is. I think it's just total exaggeration by politicians playing political games.
I don't know. That could be, but I mean, politicians always play political games.
There's no question we can agree on that. That's for sure.
But to me, just normal thinking would say, what the hell are you doing, Obama? Why do you want to put this guy in the center of New York City? All right, how do you expect them to get a fair trial? How do you expect to keep this thing safe? Why do you want to spend $250 or $300 million?
You fall for all their arguments. Of course, he can get a. He'll get a trial with a judge, with a jury, and with his own criminal lawyer, and he will. It'll have all the aspects of a fair trial. He'll be allowed to file motions to have it moved to another jurisdiction, like any other criminal defendant can do. He can make the case that he can't get.
The guy said he's guilty. He said, "I'm guilty. Kill me. I'm guilty."
Then he can stand in court and plead guilty.
Why don't you just take his statement and do away with the guy?
Put him in a mental institution.
It
won't cost anything.
Life,
but I think this is you're spouting back arguments. I think you're just being put out there. Politicians playing games. I wouldn't fall for that.
Maybe.
If we've handled tougher cases in New York, this is not a big deal.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about the case. I'd rather see him in a the regular court rather than those military tribunals, which I didn't like at all. I think
that kangaroo court.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I don't really have any feelings for or against New York City, to tell you the truth, because I'm not sure what is the truth. The only thing that I know is that this guy was horribly tortured.
Right.
And I feel embarrassed that that it's going to be all over the papers again and internationally.
I mean, we need to know what our country did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's important for the Congress to hold hearings on what happened with this torture memo, what happened with the torture program, and what Jay Bybee's role in it was, and then go ahead and, if there's enough evidence, go ahead and file articles of impeachment like has been done with 14 other judges, and go ahead
Do you think this trial will be good for the fact that you want to do this impeachment thing? Do you think this trial will bring attention to that in a good way to make people more aware?
It'll show us dealing with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show us not pushing under the carpet. It'll be an opportunity for the public to know what really happened,
mm-hmm.
how this program was carried out, how many people were affected by it. I mean, there are some horrible stories that have been reported in various news reports about what happened to some of these people who were tortured. I mean,
remember
one of someone being essentially crucified, hung by his arm.
Oh, my God.
On a cross. I mean, it's just horrible stories of what, you know, sexual abuse and,
mm-hmm.
You know, all sorts of degradation and pain that we put people through, and really not to any positive effect. It didn't work.
No.
In fact, it created more enemies. So I think there's a real opportunity here for us to educate about this and prevent this from happening again, and to hold at least one person accountable, Judge Bybee, by taking away his judgeship. And, so I think it's a very important thing for the United States.
Well, what's the
for our character.
What's the chance of getting Bush or Cheney? What are the odds of being able to get them on trial?
I think it's slim. I mean, I think it gets more likely if we have hearings on this and the truth starts to come out, then I think that it becomes more likely that it will happen. But I think you have to start. You can't go after Bush and Cheney directly. You've got to start with something like this torture program, and we'll find out. Because, you know, in some of the emails between Department of Justice officials, there's indications that President Bush, and of course Dick Cheney as well, was pushing the Department of Justice to come up with a memo that would protect torturers, U.S. torturers.
That's right, yeah.
So there's certainly evidence in these emails that Bush and Cheney were both directly involved in trying to get these memos to protect torturers and allow torture to proceed. So it could, you know, this is the kind of thing that can open up a Pandora's box. And when we get inside it, it'll be, I imagine Bush and Cheney's fingerprints will be all over it. So it could lead that way. But I think the first target should not be that. The first target should be to explain the program, what happened, how did the Department of Justice do it, what was their role, how did this OPR memo change from disciplinary proceedings to no disciplinary proceedings, and how did Judge Bybee become a Court of Appeals judge, and should he be impeached? You do that, and he gets impeached. I bet we do that process, there'll be more evidence on Bush and Cheney, and increase the chance of going after them.
You can have the domino effect there.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly how it works. You know, more what happens with this kind of thing is more and more people get implicated, and they don't want to take the blame, and so they will start to tell what the role of the higher ups was, whose orders they were following.
I really could see that scenario, and I do hope that happens, because I think this is a horrible blemish in our country.
It's a horrible blemish, and the fact that we're not holding anybody accountable and creating a de facto exception for the war on terror, where people can violate and commit war crimes, violate the law and commit war crimes, a de facto exception for the executive branch, is a very serious error. And I think that the Department of Justice will really regret doing what they've done.
Especially
I think it's only done for short-term political gain and to protect themselves in case they ever get charged with war crimes.
I mean, we lost all credibility internationally as far as our humanitarian human rights initiatives are concerned. I mean, we are the biggest hypocrites. I mean, there's no bigger hypocrite than we are, all right? Even China doesn't, at least China doesn't say, well, we believe in human rights, you know?
That's right. They don't go around preaching to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, trying to reform the world on human rights while they're violating the Geneva Convention and torturing people. It's just, and this Nobel Prize, what do you think of that? The Nobel Prize to Obama.
I wish I understood the rationale. I mean, I've heard the rationale of the Nobel Prize committee put forward, that they were trying to help Obama to reach to his best possibilities. It's made the Nobel Prize into a joke.
It is. It's lost all credibility as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if it ever had any.
He should have been. You know, Obama. You know, let's see what he's done for 4 years.
Yeah.
Or 8 years. Did he end any wars rather than escalate wars? Did he stop killing civilians? Did he really stop the torture program? Did he really hold torturers accountable? Did he close Guantanamo Bay? So far, all the evidence points in the wrong direction on all those issues.
Yeah, I mean, they should have given the Nobel Prize to George Bush for stepping down and not trying to go for a third term. You know what I mean?
It really is. I think they're all causing a terrible mistake on their own.
Oh, man.
Hurt themselves a great deal with this. I mean, there's such a love for Obama. He's a very elegant guy. He's obviously very eloquent. He's the first African-American president. He's got a sense of humor, a beautiful smile, a beautiful family. There's a lot of beautiful things about the guy. But when you get down to his policies, there's not much to look at that's very good. He's very much a corporate Democrat who puts forward always corporate solutions. Like in healthcare, the insurance company, which actually is the cause of the problems, becomes the solution, and they get hundreds of billions of dollars a year more if his bill passes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, on every issue it's like that. It's always the corporate solution. On foreign policy, he is defending the empire. He's escalating militarism. It's hard to point to a lot of good. It's hard to point to a lot of good with the guy. I mean, there's obviously in many ways he's better than Bush, but that's not saying very much. I mean,
well, you know what scared me really during that election was that, I mean, McCain was even worse. McCain was worse than Obama.
I know.
I mean, much worse. I mean, he was looking for a 100-year war.
Yep.
He had no. I mean, this guy didn't even pretend to have a clue as to his economic, solution to the problems.
That's right.
And he had Ben Stein as his key economic advisor, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to tell you something right there, what this guy is. But it's like, you know, the whole thing just made no sense this election, and I personally just. Laid back and said, "This is it. You know, you just vote for Obama. You know, go Obama. You know, it's just it. What else were you gonna do? Lila can't remember who she voted for.
I didn't
vote for either one of them. I'll tell you that.
You voted for
the wrong one. I felt exactly the same way that you did about his policy and support for the war, and the fact that he was going to spread the war and escalate it. I couldn't vote for someone like that.
Well, good for you. I totally appreciate that. That's my view. I will not vote for people who support the American Empire's militarist approach.
I will not
vote for someone who's a corporate lackey.
No.
And so I could not vote for President Obama. I could not vote for John McCain. But
no.
Luckily, there were other choices on the ballot. And so, I was able to vote and felt good about my vote.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you very much for the efforts that you're making. And
thank you all very much. And I hope your listeners will go to disbartorturelawyers.com and get involved. And, you know, my organization, votersforpeace.us, to get involved in our anti-war efforts and our torture accountability efforts. That's votersforpeace.us. And also go to our economic website, prosperityagenda.us, which deals with all sorts of economic issues, from health care to taxes to the deficit to jobs. So, prosperityagenda.us.
Well,
and
thank you so much.
We had a great conversation with you, and you helped educate us and our listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much.
Right. Oh, you're welcome.
Good night. And don't forget, read off those websites.
He had a lot of websites for us to look at. Votersforpeace.us, which is his own website. DisbarTortureLawyers.com. FreeSpeechForPeople.org. And his economic website, ProsperityAgenda.us.
Yeah.
And now time for a station ID, Leo.
Yes, this is WQQQ 103. And that's the end of that. That was Kevin Cece from impeachbb.org. And I forgot all of the others. But anyway, so many of them. But I'm sure if you go to disbartorturelawyers.org or impeachbybee.org, you'll come up with the others, all of his other different websites. And articles and his his activism. He's a brilliant guy. Really enjoyed having him on, and hope to have him on again. So thank you for listening. Join me tomorrow night, Thursday night, where I head to the fourth dimension, and
then on Friday night, this Friday we have George Dixon with us. So we got a big week for you, coming up. So join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and Friday night at 8 o'clock. So you can catch this, tell your friends about the archives here. Good night.